you can get out of this trouble. There's a way with Jesus Christ. He died on the cross for you. He went to the cross and suffered. And whatever is bothering you, give it to him, and he can go down to the depths and go down to your feelings and hug you and bring you up out of there. He understands you.
Stay. Welcome, my friends, to The Storyteller, where you'll find First Nations people from across Native North America who are following Jesus Christ without reservation. On today's program, you'll hear from Lawrence Alfred from the Navajo Nation and part one of his salvation story.
Lawrence Alfred, my name is Lawrence Alfred. I was born and raised in Tuba City, Arizona. I'm a Navajo Indian. My mom is Tohono clan, and my dad is a Torichini clan, Nearwater people and Bitterwater people. I was raised in Tuba City. I was born in 1953 and raised in Tuba City most of my life. I love my people. I like living on the reservation. I see the people change. When I was a boy, I used to go to the trading posts and see their sons and daughter interpret for the mother and the grandmother to buy things like coffee, sugar, salt. And I seen Tuba City. I want to sound like I'm back in the 1800s. But I seen Tuba City with a dirt road down the main street. And nobody living in Tuba City, just a few houses. And there are a lot of the older original Navajos that used to live here. We go to the restaurant and talk about how Tuba City used to be like. And I seen the Navajos move from covered wagon from that time. They used to travel to Flagstaff in a covered wagon, to the Chevrolets, to the Ford, to the Dodges, to the Iron Horse age of this day. I've seen that part. And I heard stories from my father when he was in school at the boarding school in 1930s over here in Tuba City Boarding School, the federally run school. And they went to the public school where there was only one classroom school. And that went over to the other part in the 60s when they had all the high school and all the school in one building there. Now, but different rooms. And it started expanding. And in the early 70s, I graduated in 71. They were talking about having two high school. And when I came back from the service, I saw them have the Gray Hill High School and the Tuba City High School. And it's great to live in Tuba. You see history moving. You see the police force also. None of the police officers went to the police academy. And I heard they never had a uniform. They used to just have a badge and a gun. And they started moving from there. They have uniforms now, and they go to school to be a police officer. You have to learn how to read and write English. And back in the old days, I understand they used patrolling horses and their black and white units, and they never went to school to be a policeman. But today, I know that they go to school for it, and they learn how to be professional law enforcement officers. A lot of things going on the res, you know. And the churches, too. I see a lot of churches spring up. when I was a small child, I had this fantasy. I saw a movie, John Wayne. All the Indians used to like John Wayne. And I don't know why. He used to fight Indians, and we all used to want to be like John Wayne. And it's kind of funny. I saw him do an airborne story. Thinking back, I think it was the Normandy invasion, and he was one of the main cast there, and he jumped out of an airplane, and I thought that was the coolest thing to do. And when I was a child, I used to make little parachutes for my army men and throw them up in the air and see how far they float down. And I used to fantasize about that. And I used to want to get up on a building and jump off the building on a bed sheet and come floating down. And I really wanted to do that. When I came 18, I enlisted, and I wanted to be a paratrooper, and went to Fort Benning, Georgia, and my chance came to be a paratrooper. I had a friend by the name of Michael Sligelmilch. He was from North Dakota, and he was a white guy, and we went through this training, and he come running up to me. He says, Alfred, Chief, they used to call. They call Indians Chief over there. So they call. He says, Chief, Alfred, come here. When we get in the airplane, let's be the last one to get in. Man, we'll see everybody else jump out. We'll be the last one to jump out of the airplane. I said, okay. We're going in for our qualification jump. We had to make 5 jumps before we get our airborne wings. And we boarded the plane. We made an appointment to be the last one in the back. I was the second to the last. He was in the back. And we got into the airplane. We flew around for a while. And then the door opened. When the door opened, to our surprise, it opened up right by Michael Sligelmilch. I saw his face, and his jaw was down. He was red and looking at me, and I was laughing at him, and we were looking at him, and the jump master says, stand up, hook up, and told Michael to stand in the door, and he stood in the door and told Michael to watch the light. The light was red, and when it turns green, out the door you go. And while we were training, where we just do it, and just do it. And he jumped out, and there was no Michael, and I saw him go down, and it was my turn. So I jumped out and went down this chute, and it was the most wonderful feeling I ever had in my whole life. Michael was yelling. We were yelling going down below. The jump masters were yelling at us, quit yelling. But we kept yelling anyway, and we're looking around. All of a sudden, we remember we had to land. And the wind was kind of picking up, and we had to land. The landing part is the most difficult part of it. Hey, we used to have a saying that says, the fall won't kill you, it's a sudden stop. So that was an airborne story that I have. Of course, there's a lot, but yeah, that's just one that was fun. You know, my first paratroop jump that I done. I married a young lady back in 1975, and she was a Christian. She was raised in a Christian home, went to a Christian school, and she was raised most of her life as a Christian. And she always tried to get me to be a Christian. She always told me that the life to go was being a Christian man. But I did not listen to her, like most of you that are out there listening to me. I heard a lot of preaching on the radio, and I There's a church near my mom and dad's house that I heard them preaching, but I really did not accept it. I always wanted to do things my way. I sensed the Lord back in 1990, while I was in deep trouble in the world, in life, and getting in trouble all the time. Once with the law in my whole life, I was drinking and driving, and I was in jail one time. And I sensed the Lord talking to me one day. I used to hear my wife always tells me that, Lawrence, if you keep doing the things you're doing, you're going to hell. And I used to say, well, I'll get used to hell. I live in Arizona. It gets hot here. You get used to it. Heat is nothing, you know. I used to say that. I've been hungry before, so, you know, I've been thirsty before, so I get used to it. You get used to those things. I would say to her, and she says, no, you don't understand. Hell is worse than what you think it is. And my son was converted to Christianity at the age of, I would say, about 5 or 4 years old. And he used to always testify to me, saying, Dad, there's a way out of the trouble that's hurting you. He used to talk to me and tell me, Dad, you can get out of this trouble. There's a way with Jesus Christ. He died on the cross for you. He went to the cross and suffered. And whatever is bothering you, give it to him, and he can go down to the depths and go down to your feelings and hug you and bring you up out of there. He understands you. You know, imagine my son, 4 or 5 years old, saying that to me. I don't know where he got that wisdom from, but it seems to me that he knew exactly what was wrong with me. Maybe Jesus was talking through him. But he said those things to me, and of course, I didn't listen.
It's not an uncommon problem, is it? God has much to say, but not many are listening. What about you? Have you responded to him? Just like Lawrence's son said, Jesus died on the cross for you. We read in the Bible, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." We also read in God's Word concerning Jesus Christ, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become God's children, to those who believe in his name." God offers forgiveness and new life to whoever will put their trust in his Son. Are you interested in what he's saying? Visit our website, withoutreservation.com, and click on the tab New Life. Or download the Storyteller Radio app and choose Hope. You can also write to us at The Storyteller, P.O. Box 1001, Bemidji, Minnesota 56619. That's P.O. Box 1001, Bemidji, Minnesota 56619. Our email address is storyteller@withoutreservation.com. Thanks for listening. And remember, the greatest story took place at the cross. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. My friends, there is more to Lawrence's story, so be sure to join us again next time as we listen to The Storyteller.